Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. The geological activity that I think most of you have been noticing was forecast to me a couple years ago almost now, that there would be a tremendous increase in volcanism, earthquakes, droughts and weather changes, crop failures, and we're headed toward a real serious food shortage, as you know, big. So watch for more volcanic eruptions, all kinds of things like that. You're going to see a lot of changes. I don't know who's causing them, but somebody knew in advance that this was coming. And also don't forget about asteroids. How many of those have passed us by between the Earth and the Moon? Lots of them. Don't be surprised if one day we get smacked. Wouldn't be the end of the world, but it would make a big mess. I think that's definitely on the drawing board. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight every Monday, and he always has some really extraordinary perspectives to present, analyses, and so forth. Hello, Mitch. Welcome back. Glad to have you.
Hello. Good to be here.
Yeah. Considering the alternative, I guess it is good to be here.
Yes. Right. Exactly. So today I kind of wanted to talk to people about how we are all slaves and how they want us all dead. Okay.
I see you have a very lively, happy topic on tap for us, so we're ready.
Oh, yes.
Go to it.
But, you know, I'm gonna start this with quotes. These are going to be some old quotes. So the first quote is about 2,000 years old. It was said by Plautus, a Roman playwright. He said that there's two kinds of slaves. A slave that's in chains and has to sleep on a stone floor and who goes to bed hungry. And he knows he's a slave. And then he said there's the other slave that sleeps in a soft bed and goes to bed with a full belly who has no idea that he's a slave. Okay? So we're going to get into this a little bit. So the next one's from about 70 years ago by B.F. Skinner, who is a psychologist that worked on operant conditioning. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He said, now that we know how positive reinforcement works and why negative reinforcement doesn't, we can be more deliberate and hence more successful in our cultural design. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled feel free. There's no restraint and no revolt. This is kind of where we're at today, okay?
Now, Skinner was and Pavlov, I think, and of course, Edward L. Bernays were the three giants of mass mind control and conditioning. They got it.
Oh, yes, yes. B.F. Skinner is very important to them, his research. Only he never lived to see. He thought that they would be able to do that sooner rather than later. But the way that the globalists work, and globalism is old. Globalism is basically Zionism, and it's ancient. Okay, and they've always had the strategy of the inevitability of gradualism. They could gradually move us towards any goalposts that they wanted to. Okay, so there's people who wrote about this, like Aldous Huxley. This is, again, from 70 years ago. He said, slavery was never abolished. It was only extended to include everyone. Okay.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Johann Goethe, like 400 years ago, said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they are free. Okay.
Yeah.
Then Frederick Douglass, the abolitionist, he says, when a slave becomes a happy slave, he has inadvertently relinquished all that has made him human. Okay, so it's begun with slavery. Slavery is dependence on another person or institution. In the United States, the very first African slave was imported into the United States by Anthony Johnson, a black tobacco farmer in Maryland. So the very first person to own a slave in America was a black person, not a white person. Okay. people, you know, one of the lies that we hear jumped into us every day is we are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of immigrants. Well, you know, a lot of immigrants came over as indentured servants. Okay, so they had to, they were in a state of slavery when they
that
got
was the
here.
Deal. Briefly explain that. White people who wanted to come to America from England, for example, had to make a hell of a sacrifice in many cases to get here, and that is indentured servitude. And that didn't last for 6 months. Those contracts were long, some of them.
Well, it's usually 7 years, 10
yes.
years, even longer. It depends on where you were going. So what happened is the people who wanted to come here to settle the country, well, they needed workers and laborers. So they had desperately poor people in Europe that would sell like 7 years of their life in order to come here. They would work on these people's farms or whatever, and then after 7 years they would be freed, and then they could start their own farm, and then they were actually free when they could start their own farm. Okay, so most of the people that came here first were indentured servants, and then there's a second class of people. Actually, my family came here as they were what's called transported here. So they loved the land they came from. They loved the place that they came from. But they either had to swing at the end of a rope or get transported to wherever. And right. The way transportation worked is you didn't pick where you were going. They hauled you in chains down to a ship on the dock. And wherever that ship was going, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, the United States, Guyana, Jamaica, wherever, you were put on that ship and you were sent, okay, to any colony in the world, any British colony in the world. So I can attest that my family came to the United States not as immigrants, but they were transported here as punishment for crimes. Their crimes were mostly supporting the stewards in Scotland and stuff, but they were going to hang nevertheless. So they had the option, hang or get transported. So,
right.
Of course, they chose getting transported. So that's not immigrating to the United States. That's not any more immigrating to the United States than capturing a slave on the coast of West Africa and bringing him here. Okay, it's the same thing. Okay, they're brought here against their will. So the whole immigration, we're a nation of immigrants thing, is not true at all. It's many people came here because they had to, because they had no choice. Okay,
right.
So in 1800, 96% of the population was rural and basically free. Everyone had to take care of themselves. In freedom, you always have to take care of yourself. This is what independence means. You take care of yourself and don't depend on others. Okay. In 1975, I was in British Honduras. I read a book by John Hershey called My Petition for More Space. This is a story where so many people are crammed into the urban areas that the protagonist of the story wants more space because he has noticed that there is a direct relationship between how dense the population is and the more regulation and laws you must submit to. The more you are regulated, the less freedom you have. When you are regulated to the point that we have been since March 2020, you should realize that we are not considered humans by our governments or ruling elites. We have no value to them. By the time that Woodrow Wilson was trying to establish his globalist government, the League of Nations, after World War I, America had reached its tipping point where 51% of the population was urban. Okay, under Roosevelt, another globalist, we were already 57% urban. Under arch-globalist Richard Nixon, we were 74% urban. This is in 1970. By 2020, the USA was 80.7% urban. Okay. Now to get this picture clearly, you just have to realize that If you're out in the middle of nowhere, okay, and you turn your stereo system up to the max and just blow out the area, there's nobody to complain. You're free to do that if you want to. You can turn your TV up all you want, and there's nobody to complain, okay? But if you live in a crowded apartment building, well, then there's many things that you cannot do. You can't blast your stereo. You can't blast your TV. The police will be knocking on your door telling you to turn it down, okay? There's rules about it, so you're not as free, okay? In 2014, we hit the tipping point in the USA where 50% of the population depended on the government to live. Okay? That's 52%. Over half of Americans by 2014 depended on the government for their living. Okay? Obama tried to make that 100% with his Obamacare. Mm-hmm. Trump released many people from that forced dependency on the government. That was not a voluntary dependency. That was forced. You had to pay fines every year if you did not join their health club. Okay. So now with Biden has the quote the American Families Plan. He hopes to finally make 100% of Americans dependent upon the government. Okay. It's simple, logical, and even obvious that you are not independent if you depend upon the state. You, in fact, are a slave. You are not independent, and you are not free. The government does not make you dependent on them so they can take care of you or help you. They are only interested in controlling you. If they control your pocketbook, they effectively control you. Okay.
Oh, it's all about. You're right. It's as you well know better than anyone. This is headed toward abject total control. That's what they want. That's where they're going, and that's how they're going to end up. When total control is
exactly
the norm. That's what they want. And it's all going to be your smartphone. If you don't have one, they'll give you one. If you don't take it, you'll be in trouble. And I mean, you don't want that kind of trouble. Everyone will have a smartphone. They will be tied into the system. They will be monitored around the clock. Now, that's not to say that we're going to have all that many people here to even control. Because if the Deagle projections are right and what we think we know is correct about these so-called vaccinations, in 3.5 years or 3.75 years, there are going to be a lot fewer people here and in other white Western Christian countries that have been forced to take the shot.
Well, earlier I watched your video that you had on the top of your page where that Canadian doctor was talking about the spike protein, which they're making your body make, that it's actually a toxin. It's toxic.
Of course it is.
Okay?
Absolutely.
It's a pathogenic toxin, much like ricin or something. Not as powerful as ricin, but it's the same concept. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. It is a protein that gets into your body and harms your body. Specifically, he said it really accumulates in the cardiovascular system and causes inflammation there. So,
tears up your arteries, veins.
Right.
Wherever there are, and they're all over the body, the ACE2 receptors, they're on platelets, they're on cells in your heart, your brain, your liver. Wherever there are ACE2 receptors, these spike proteins bind to those receptors, okay? And once they do that, the damages begin. And the idea is to somehow try to stop them from binding to the ACE2 receptors. That's why people are still hoping that zinc, selenium, NAC if you can get it, quercetin, bromelain, vitamin D most especially, will get in the way and prevent the protein known as the spike from binding to the ACE2 receptor and just causing havoc and hell. These people are bleeding. They're bleeding. They're bleeding in their eyes. They're bleeding in their nose. Their women are bleeding. Their monthly periods are horrific. This is all being done by the spike protein, apparently. We know of nothing else to look at. So Mitch is totally correct. Go ahead, Mitch.
Well, not only that, but, the other day they released Dr. Fauci's emails, and I had a friend who sent me the whole archive. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
So reading page one, just page one, was enlightening because this doctor is bringing up a problem to Dr. Fauci, saying, "What about the national blood supply? You know, it's like once these people get the shot, well, their blood is contaminated. How are we going to have blood to give to people that need blood? I mean, you know, it's like if you need a transfusion, man, you've got a problem coming.
No, okay. You're going to get spiked is what it is. The blood supply is already dirty. They mix it. They mix it. All the types get mixed together, you know, whatever the type it may be. And they make a pool. And they take various proteins and products out of the blood to use for other things. But the blood has spike proteins in it. And we know it's being shed and transmitted person to person. We know that. Exhalation will do it. Any body fluid will do it. So this is really a nasty, nasty thing that was planned for a long time to do exactly what it's doing.
So, towards what end do they want to control you? To make America the template for the globalist New World Order. The New World Order is globalism, and they are both euphemisms for Zionism. Okay? What price will they pay to accomplish this globalist dream? They don't mind sacrificing your life to accomplish it. The first globalist president, Democrat Woodrow Wilson, sent 116,000 men to their death so he could establish the League of Nations. The next globalist president, Franklin Roosevelt, America's first Marxist dictator, sent over 400,000 men to their death to establish the United Nations. The next globalist president, Harry Truman, helped genocide 30 million Germans after World War II to bolster the Zionist call.
Thank you for mentioning that those people did not deserve that, for God's sakes.
They definitely were. Be careful, because Zionism says that the white people are the race that is most resistant to globalism because they can take care of themselves and are individualists. Globalism demands dependent and collectivist people. Individualism and nationalism are a disease to them, and they work hard to destroy it in any way that they can. Truman also sent 33,000 Americans to their deaths in Korea to give the UN some teeth. George Bush the first sent 294 Americans to their death during the Gulf War to declare the New World Order. The CIA killed 3,393 American civilians so that their death in the global war on terror, so they could abolish the Fourth Amendment and set up a surveillance state. So we've been in this surveillance state for 20 years now. It is a well-developed surveillance state, okay? So 3,005 Americans were killed on 9/11 by the CIA. And after that, we had to give up our Fourth Amendment. And after that, only 388 American civilians have died due to Islamic terrorism since 9/11. Why so few for something constantly in the news to scare us? Because Al-Qaeda works for the CIA, and the CIA has a term for this. They call it the management of savagery. Okay? They want to control the savagery in the world. They want to be the ones who says when the savagery can happen and when it can't. The CIA is a Marxist globalist Zionist servant that works for the globalists. They don't work for the United States. So then progress towards a globalist government faltered under Trump. He backed Israeli nationalist Netanyahu and was messing up the globalist plans. Now Trump is gone, and the USA is no longer supports Israeli nationalism. But Israeli Zionists want to rule the world, not just Israel. Netanyahu is now on his way out, and the Zionists are on their way in Israel. So this is this is a major move because the United States really doesn't have any influence in the Middle East anymore. We have very little. Russia and China has pushed us out. Okay.
But all we're doing over there now, Mitch, I guess, is continuing to steal Syria's oil, huh?
Yeah, that's about it. The worst part is American Zionists and globalists, with the help of globalist Chinese Communist Party, created and launched a biological warfare attack against the world. Their objectives were clear: to destroy Trump's economy, impoverish the people, and make them dependent on the state. Rig an election under the cover of a phony COVID pandemic, then pass COVID recovery package that oppresses white people in an attempt to buy off people of color who they will favor. Then you use the momentum to convince everyone to take the vaccine that makes them into GMOs. Keep in mind, please, that Chinese COVID vaccine is a traditional vaccine that does not turn people into GMOs. These vaccines will kill most people that get them. Those who remain will be transhuman GMOs. They won't be humans anymore. Yeah. So the Sinovac Chinese vaccination is made in the traditional way, where they just grow a bunch of viruses, the COVID virus, they kill it, and then they inject it to you, which is what they do with measles and smallpox. And
I think the Sputnik 5 vax is a similar type of vaccine, the old-fashioned kind. These others really shouldn't be called vaccines. It's a lie. It's grossly misused. These are genetic alterations, is what they are, to the human body,
right,
whether they're done with the mRNA or with the adenovirus platform. There are two platforms they use to do it. They turn your body into a spike protein manufacturing plant, and you run around literally dosing yourself to the end. Hold on a minute. We'll be right back with Mitchell Henderson. Okay, let's get right back to Mitchell Henderson. Go ahead, Mitch. Floor is yours.
Okay, so it's not that the globalists want China to remain as the sole world power. In the planned World War III, China shall perish along with America, Israel, the EU, Russia, Iran, Turkey, and India. The globalist world leader will not be negotiating or compromising with anyone. Yes, the Zionists will betray and murder their own people to accomplish their goal of world power. There is no morality or restraint on their part. Okay.
That's their advantage, Mitch. Morality. There's no constraint, no moral constraint. They laugh at morality the way we practice it and believe in it. So no morality. They have a free hand. Remember, if they recite the Kol Nidre prayer at the beginning of a year, whenever they choose to start that year, they are forgiven for all sins and evil deeds that they do in the following year. They give themselves carte blanche to do whatever they want. That's what the Kol Nidre is about. K-O-L-N-I-D-R-E. Look it up. Go ahead.
Some people may be surprised to hear that Israel will fall because, especially amongst Christian Zionists, they believe that the coming of the reestablishment of Israel as a country is one of the major signs of Christ's return. Okay, but if you look in the Jewish Tanakh and in many Christian Bibles too, in Jeremiah 31:37. It states the following: if one day the sky could be measured and the foundations of the earth explored, only then would he reject the people of Israel because of all that they have done. The Lord has spoken. So the foundation of the earth was determined in 1936. They had it all mapped out from the core up to the mantle. Okay. In 2014, the Baryon Oscillation Spectrographic Survey, or BOSS as they call it, measured the sky, okay, to within 1% accuracy. Okay, so Israel has never lost war and has never lost American support until Obama approved UN Resolution 2334 against Israel in 2016. The 2021 Gaza war was a political victory for Hamas and the Palestinians. It looks like this prophecy, which is their own prophecy of their own demise, has come to fruition. Okay, so in this war, Israel will fall. Okay, the current government that's going to come into power in Israel is going to help it fall. They're like Israeli Bidens or something. Okay, they're in sync with our Marxist government.
Right.
Okay, so since World War I, 160 million people have been sacrificed to the aims of globalist schemes. The COVID biological warfare attack killed about 5 million worldwide in order to make us all dependent on government. And this is all people in the world dependent on all governments in the world, okay? The globalist government cannot control 8 billion people. Their stated goal is a world population of just 500 million. That means they want to kill off 7.5 billion people with the COVID vaccine and World War III. I don't know that they're going to be able to accomplish all that they want to accomplish, but they're never going to quit trying at that. So,
I think that's very important. They will not stop. No.
So how much does the United States care about its citizens? So I don't know if you ever heard of Dr. Edward Teller. He's the father of the hydrogen bomb.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
He wrote this. He said, there are two diametrically opposite views on civil defense. Russian official policy holds that civil defense is feasible even in a nuclear war. American official policy, or at any rate the implementation of that policy, is based on the assumption that civil defense is useless. Translation, you, the American people, don't matter to the government that is supposed to serve you. It bespeaks the reality that you, in fact, exist to serve the U.S. government, not the other way around. Meanwhile, the Joint Chiefs of Staff publication on nuclear war strategy, which I got a copy of in June 2019, states clearly that we will not nuke any enemy population center, even if there is a major military installation in that city, a population center. Russia and China know this is our policy, but the American people have no clue about these official policies. Why tell slaves anything at all? Okay, it doesn't conserve them. They're just supposed to do it. They're supposed to do. So in Brave New World, Aldous Huxley wrote, and we're talking, this is 70 years ago also, the perfect dictatorship would have the appearance of a democracy, but would basically be a prison without walls in which the prisoners would not even dream of escaping. It would essentially be a system of slavery where through consumption and entertainment, the slaves would love their servitude. Okay, we're there. We're there right now. I mean, how many times have I talked on this show about how you know, entertainment, social media, sports, and stuff like that is distracting people from asserting their freedom, from doing something about the situation that we're in, you know?
Right.
So the first step...
You want to hear another, real quick?
Yeah,
another Huxley quote? Very interesting man.
Yeah.
Facts do not cease to exist because they are ignored.
Exactly. Very good. Very good point. We see that all over the place. But, you know, I did want to mention stuff. You know what the stuff that we talk about on this show? Mm-hmm. I've started hearing stuff very similar on the media, on mainstream media. Well, if you consider Fox News as mainstream media, which I do, they're a mainstream cable network and stuff. But right. Greg Gutfeld was on there saying that, you know, all this identity politics is basically going to lead to a race war. It's the politics of hatred. Okay.
Let me just suggest one quick thing.
Sure.
I've been at this a long time, and I know that this program and the site are very heavily monitored for good information, cutting-edge information from people just like you. And I've seen it countless times appear on Fox and other stations as well. So they watch. They listen. They know.
Oh, yes. So anyways, the first step in liberating yourself from slavery is, of course, to realize that you're a slave. The second step is to not get a COVID vaccine because it permanently enslaves you. No one who gets the vaccine can ever escape slavery. The third step is to quit fearing your slave masters. They use fear and shaming to manipulate you. The government relies on voluntary compliance. How do I know this? Because federal law enforcement manuals say clearly that voluntary compliance is the objective of each agency. It's and trust me, reading all these, like the FBI agent's manual, the IRS agent's manual, the DEA agent's manual, is boring to no end. Okay, so I had to suffer through thousands of pages to get to the part where they say our goal is voluntary compliance. That's what we're aiming for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is what people in government are told. Ignore the government where you can. Just ignore them, okay? They're not telling you the truth about anything ever, okay? If they could just tell the truth, and it's a simple truth with no consequences, or tell a very complicated lie that'll come back and bite them, they would actually prefer to tell the lie. It's just, it's like in the nature of government or something, okay?
Yeah. That's right.
So the third step is to quit consuming what you do not need. What you need, you should buy from non-woke businesses. Every business will put in their core value statement on the Internet whether they are woke or not. Our government has officially violated the 14th Amendment Equality Clause by favoring people of color, LGBT, and female-owned businesses with debt forgiveness and loans unavailable to straight white men. Don't patronize them. Entertainment is brainwashing. Quit allowing yourself to be brainwashed. Purchase stuff that you need to survive the genocide in World War III from businesses that are on your side, okay? The fourth step is to disobey, refuse to comply, and resist the Marxists that rule your life. The fifth step, if you live in an area likely to fall under globalist control or a nuclear target, is to seek out some wilderness area that has plenty of food and water and make up a go bag so you can bug out. Okay, this just means like take the time now to go scouting if you live in a target area. Okay, obviously if you don't, you don't have to worry about that. But if you live in a place that's a nuclear target, which means say any city over 500,000, you're probably going to be a target. Okay, so in your area, find some wilderness areas, some wild country somewhere, and scout out places like where there's water, where there's food. Whether it depends, you know, if you live in a wet place, there's seafood, there's fish, you can learn to get books on how to forage food in your area. You know, it's going to be a hard slog, but you can survive it. You know, the key to survival is simple. Just never, never quit. Never give up. Okay? So not everybody has an underground bunker that they can go to, but you can find a wilderness area where you can be out of the area. In my 28 years in the Army, I went to 16 different conflict zones, and I saw the same thing over and over again. Whenever there was conflict, everybody was encouraged to hurry up, come to town, and there they would be slaughtered. Okay? the people who stayed out in the boonies way far away usually escaped the demise and the control that they have of you, because when you go to town, they're going to control you, and you're not going to like the way that they're going to treat you, okay? So those are just some basic fundamental things that you can do, you know? If we go to war with China, we're going to war with China. It's going to happen. China said many, many years ago, they said that if Taiwan ever declared its independence, that they would attack and take Taiwan by force. Okay. The CCP is under pressure. They have to perform for their people. They have problems in China. They need some unifying thing to get people on their side. Okay. I was able to find out exactly what they intend to do. China intends a new what's called a limited strike on the United States, and it's limited because first of all, Mao Zedong once said that we have 600 million people. If we get nuked and lose 300 million people, well, we still have 300 million left. So it's like I said a long time ago, for the Chinese, they can trade both space and people for time, okay? They don't mind losing people. They can care less if you nuke them. You'll be doing them a favor as far as they're concerned. So this limited strike, you have to also realize they don't have their nukes in silos, okay? Their nukes are mobile. So they're not going to probably have any problem with ground bursting, fallout causing nukes striking them, because everything they have is basically on the surface. With 300 ICBMs that can reach the United States, each one of them can carry six independent reentry vehicles, MIRVs. Okay, and each of these six MIRVs can from the point where they're released, they can hit targets 1,500 kilometers away from each other. So that's how much they can spread out as they're attacking and stuff. To hit 96 targets, they only need to launch like 16 of their ICBMs. To hit 96 targets.
Wouldn't they start off with at least two or three, I guess?
Well, I think what they'll do first, which is common sense. I mean, listen, the military doctrine is called because it works.
They start off with two or three EMPs.
That's right, exactly. I think they plan for an EMP over the Central Pacific, because we have way too many communications going across the Pacific. They need to disrupt that. And then one over the United States proper, so that they can knock out all electronics and communications within the United States. So that always precedes a nuclear
attack. You're telling
attack.
Me my... Now people their smartphones won't work? Is that what you're saying, Mitch? Come on.
Yes, their smartphones,
good
nothing
God
will work. Okay, the only thing that can survive an EMP is tube technology, the old tubes.
Yep.
They can survive a nuclear
and old cars.
EMP balls.
But then you've got a problem with where
cars.
Do you get the fuel? So, but yes, they'll at least run.
Right. So these EMPs, they're set off fairly high in the atmosphere, several hundred miles up, they're not intended to do any physical damage.
Miles. That may be satellites are in orbit 200 miles, so I think an EMP is like 50,000 to 100,000 feet. And it pulses from there. I'll look it up here. I don't think it's that
high.
What
I understood is they set like one off, 100 megaton off over the central United States, they needed to be about 100 miles up to
I can see that.
Communications coast to coast and stuff. So, but these don't do any harm. Okay, if they go off at nighttime, you'll see a big, pretty like explosion up in the sky, but it's not going to hurt anybody on the ground. It'll just hurt electronics. Okay, so it'll start off.
You know what
with
else
that
we shouldn't forget, Mitch?
What?
We shouldn't forget
what?
Neutron bombs. They're still in the inventory. Nobody talks about them anymore. They kill all living things. They don't mess up the real estate. Neutron
bombs.
It'll
do a little damage to the real estate. It's just that like where it goes off, it'll do a little damage to the stuff. But what it's intended for is it's actually intended for like over the battlefield when you have like a bunch of tanks coming at you. Mm-hmm. You can blow it up, set it off, and the neutrons will pass through the metal in the tank and kill the troops inside. They'll do it in buildings, bunkers, stuff like that too, because neutron radiation doesn't require, like lead shielding won't protect you from neutron radiation. It's the opposite. It's things like aluminum, water. The perfect shielding for it is boron. So like borax, boric acid. I have a neighbor that even put like 3 meters of dirt over his cement house, and he mixed, he's an Air Force, retired Air Force colonel. He mixed borax in with the dirt so it would absorb any neutron radiation. Although I don't think where I live they're going to be dropping any neutron bombs, but, you know, he's ready just in case.
You know, we always think that they're going to hit their intended targets, and let's just hope that they do in a way, because if one of those MIRVs happens to be off course, it could pay anybody a visit. Just think about it. Well, it came down 100 miles wide of its target. Whoops.
Listen, when I went to China in 1996, there was a problem. The Chinese had a big problem in 1996, and that was that if they launched an ICBM towards Los Angeles, say, they want to hit downtown L.A., their CEP, which is called a circular error probability, would be that they could hit the Channel Islands, they could hit the Mojave Desert, they could wipe out Tijuana, or they could get San Diego or Santa Barbara.
It was
Barbara,
that big, huh? Well.
It was that big. And typically Americans, our CEP is within a half a mile, which is just fine for a nuclear attack. You know, it'll do the job. So how did the Chinese get so they could hit it directly on target? And the way they did it is President Clinton made sure that they were able to buy that technology so that they could hit on target.
That was the big Loral
treason. He's taking care of us.
Yeah.
Right. He's making sure their bombs will hit where intended, okay, instead of being wasted out in the Mojave Desert somewhere. But, you know, lizards got to live too, right, the snakes. So, it was a treason. I mean, there's another treason that people are not aware of, and that is, like, China's modernization, where they caught up with the United States, where they could actually invade Taiwan and defeat any American effort to stop them. Where did they get all that technology from? Well, they got it from two places. One was by buying our technology and copying it. And the other was Israel sells it to them. Israel develops really good military technology, and they sell it to China. Okay, then we have to fight China. So it's like when you start looking at as things develop, everything seems so confused. It's like everybody's stabbing everybody in the back. Everybody can be an ally but be an enemy at the same time. You know, and this is intentional. This is planned because it's sowing confusion. You know, it's like, for example, China and Russia are working together to control the Middle East. So they've even said, oh, if the U.S. attacks one, the other will declare war on the United States. Okay. But Russia's not going to be sending troops to defend China. They'll just attack the United States. They're not going to they're not going to actually send troops to defend Chinese territory. And the reason why is because Russia knows that its biggest enemy in the world is China, because China needs living room, and its living space is the best living space with lots of natural resources is to the north in Siberia. Only 30% of Russians live east of the Ural Mountains.
That's a very interesting stat. Interesting. It's very lightly populated.
Very lightly populated. You know, we also have to remember in a nuclear war with Russia that Russia is twice the size of the United States with half the population of the United States. So that means they're more naturally dispersed than we are. Okay. So the United States is crowded, and they're trying to crowd it more. They're trying to open the door to immigration. I mean, you know, on one hand, well, you have to get a vaccination so we can stop this COVID pandemic. Yet they're letting all these unvaccinated people just cross the border at will to come up here. Okay.
Walking right on in. No health checks. All manner of disease.
No, nothing. Nothing.
Communicable issues. Terrible.
Oh, they bought open immigration is what brought TB back to America. Many diseases that we had gotten rid of, they brought them back up here with them, because in the normal immigration process, you have to go see a doctor that is approved by the embassy to do a health check on you to make sure that you're free from communicable diseases before you land in the United States. With illegal immigration, there is no such process.
Nope.
So it's open immigration is actually a public health hazard, you know?
Oh, it's they're invaders, and it's another form of war. Here on the EMPs.
Yes.
Wikipedia, I don't like, but the high altitude EMP bursts occur with their most effect between 30 and 50 kilometers, that's 18 to 31 miles above the surface of the Earth. So
you could
light one off several hundred miles up, but it may not be very effective. The point is, if they could put three of them 30 miles high across this country, that would pretty well, we're back in the horse and buggy days.
Right. Yeah. Even one 100 megaton over the center of the United States will fry everything.
Yeah. That's right.
You know?
You got it.
And, you know, you have to keep in mind, too, that like in 1859, they had a solar flare that back then all they had was telegraph wires. Well, that solar flare caused an EMP that went through those wires and went to those brass Morse code clickers and actually melted them.
Melted them. That's right. That was a hell of a pulse.
So even if we don't have an EMP, can you imagine our modern computer electronic-centric world
instant
if they
trash.
Had a solar flare like in 1859? They'll kill 90% of the population of the Earth within a year from starvation and pestilence and everything that follows. You know,
we got to wrap.
It's
we got to wrap.
The world we live in. Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, thank you. That was really superb, as always. And we will see. Talk to you next time, Mitch. Thanks. Great job.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson, and we will be back with more. Looking forward to next hour. Very interesting technological discussion, and we'll find out what that's all about in just a few minutes, so don't go away.